Turn your Bibles this morning to John chapter 14. That's where we're going to start our text. And I want you to see something in that text and also in John 16. In John chapter 16, notice this in verses 13 and 14. I know I said John 14 and we're going to actually go there, but I want you to read this text as an intro. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." Now notice it says, he shall not speak of himself. You see that? "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come." And then notice in verse 14, "He shall glorify me." That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, today we have the opportunity to preach. And Lord, you know the condition of frail flesh. And I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help me today. Physically, mentally, there is a weariness, a tire, from all that's taken place recently. But spiritually, Father, there is such a joy. And I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help today for the sake of the sheep that are gathered here. To fill me with your Holy Spirit in such a way, Lord, that the things you want spoken today in regard to your word, the things you want spoken in regard to your Holy Spirit, can be spoken truthfully, sincerely, succinctly, clearly, and understandably. And Father, in such a way that you are still glorified and magnified in all, that Jesus Christ is honored, but that the work of your Holy Spirit can be noticed, at least in this one aspect that we're going to see today, so that there's a greater appreciation for what you do in our lives. And I ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see in this text here, in John chapter 16, that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, he shall not speak of himself. And the Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 14, he shall glorify me. Now the thing about what you're reading is this: the work of the Holy Spirit is done so subtly, so gently, so without regard to himself, that we oftentimes overlook his work. We oftentimes might even ignore his work because we know that we are to glorify God. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we're so conscious, we pray, Father, help us with this and that. But we say, Father. And then we make our prayer request and we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And so what happens is that the work of the Holy Spirit is overshadowed in the glory of God and in the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then besides that, we're Baptists. And oftentimes when you find yourself in a Baptist church, you find that the work of the Holy Spirit is further diminished. There are those who speak of powerful work that the Spirit of God has done, particularly in foreign countries, on the mission field with some miraculous things, and we're like, well, that, I don't know about that, you know. And so there's a tendency to shy away from the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we were to start this morning to preach on all that the Holy Spirit does in the Bible, there are literally pages of notes that I have on his work, and we'd be here until, well, I would be anyway, the late evening. Some of you might be like Eutychus, passed out on the floor, and the others of you might have just said, you know what, we finished our job before you finished yours. We're leaving. So we're not going to do that. There are a number of things the Holy Spirit does. And they're wonderful. They really are. And we should talk about those at another time. Today, we want to concentrate on one aspect of his work that you find in the passage that we've read here and expand it a little bit so that we understand it, because the work of the Holy Spirit is fabulous. He does some things in regard to our lives. He does some things in regard to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does some things in regard to God the Father. He does some things in regard to our personal lives, our holiness and sanctification. But we're going to talk today about some things He does in regard to the Word of God. Because we don't want to overlook the value and power of His work as it concerns that Bible. You see, today I'm going to finish preaching in, I don't know, maybe the next 10 minutes. I'm kind of tired. Maybe 30 anyway. But you're going to go home and it's going to be you and it's going to be God and it's going to be this Bible. And this is a very, very precious book, as you know, and we've said a lot about it. But I would like us to talk tonight, to this today, that's tonight, I'm already there. I want to talk today about some of the things the Holy Spirit does in regard to the Bible. Notice, first of all, in John chapter 16, verse 13, He says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." That is a remarkable verse of Scripture because it lets us know one office of the Spirit of God is to guide you into all truth. You see, there are a lot of people today that profess to know the truth. And there are a lot of people who have experienced things and they think because they have experienced those things that what they've experienced is truth. And without the guide of the Spirit of God, you and I are not only subject to deception, we will be deceived. That's just our nature. Our minds are such that we follow after things that are sensory more than we do after things that are spiritual. Now, I can remember years ago hearing a preacher talk about a certain way that he prayed, and I'm going to pick up on that. That sounds like a great thing, but I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't all truth. It was pragmatic. Do you know what that word means? It means it worked. But it wasn't truth. And listen, if a thing is pragmatic, that is, it works, but it's not truth, after a period of time, what's the result of it going to be? Error. It's going to be error. You may not detect that it's error, just similar to an airplane that's off course a little bit, or a bullet that's off course a little bit, closer to its origin, it's not obvious that it's traveling in the wrong direction. The further it is away from its origin, the more obvious it is that it's way off track. Likewise, with something that you pick up in your life that's not truth, once you start, you may think, "Boy, this is really good." But after a little while, you find out, you know what, this is, I'm so far off now, I don't even know if I can find my way back to truth. And that's what's happening. Listen, we are people that are prone to follow experience. If you've gone through something in your life and your experience tells you that what you experienced is true, you would even recommend to other people, "Well, I went through that and it sure worked out for me," in hopes that they might follow the same experience. But may I tell you something? Your experience does not validate the truth. You see, for instance, there are lots of people today who will tell you that one of the works of the Spirit of God in their lives is that they speak in tongues. And they'll say, "And I know it's true because I've done it." And so now their experience becomes their guide more than the Scripture becomes their guide. And if you're relying upon your experience rather than your Bible, eventually you're going to find yourself off track. Years ago, we had a lady in our church, and she had a charismatic background, and she became concerned about that very subject of tongues. And so she came to me one day and she said, "Pastor, what do you believe about tongues?" And I said, "You know something?" I said, "What I believe about tongues is of no value at all. It really isn't." I said, "What we need to do is we need to search the Scripture." So she and I sat down at one of those 8-foot folding tables when we were in the metal building. And I sat here and she sat over there and put the Bible down between us, and we read every passage in the Bible carefully. And the Holy Spirit was there guiding her into all truth. And by the time we finished looking at all those passages, I said, "So what do you think?" And she said, I think I've been wrong. You know who guided her in that? Not me. The Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God is the one. I remember years ago, Edie said, I want you to come and talk to my sister, Mary. She had a Jehovah's Witness background. And so I said, that'll be fine. We went over to Edie's house and sat down on the sofa in her living room with the coffee table in front of us. Edie went to the next room not to disturb us, and we set this Bible down between us. And I just began turning to verses. And I said, what do you think about that? Now listen, when you open a Bible and you ask somebody, what do you think about that? If they have been trained to respond a certain way, they'll tell you what they've been taught that it says. You ever notice that? But when somebody has yielded to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life or her life and looks in the Bible, they will look for where the Spirit of God is guiding them as they read the Scripture. And she said, well, what it says is this. And, you know, that's like repeating it back so that you make sure that somebody got it. She wasn't just quoting the verse of Scripture. She was making application in her life. So once she did that, we just turned to another verse of Scripture. What do you think about that? And we turned to another verse of Scripture. We did that through, I don't know, 15 verses of Scripture. I didn't have a program of salvation. I didn't have a plan in mind. We just went from Scripture to Scripture. And when we got to the end of that, I looked at her and I said, so what do you think? She said, I think I need to get saved. And she got saved. And then she went right in there to tell Edie. And then she came back and I said, what now? And she said, let's keep looking. And after we looked a little longer, she said, I think I need to be baptized. And we baptized her. Isn't that amazing? I know that it doesn't always happen like that. But if somebody is looking for the truth, the Spirit of God is there to guide them in the truth. If you were lost in the woods, and somebody came by with a flashlight who knew the woods that you were lost in, and you were looking to get out, you might be inclined to go up to that person and say, hey, do you know how to get out of here? And the person turns and smiles, sure, just this way. Follow me. And then you begin to follow this person and you get out of the woods. The Holy Spirit is the same way. He guides you into all truth. Listen. You don't want to minimize the work of the Spirit of God at all when it comes to finding the truth and following the truth, because He is the one who knows the truth. Didn't Jesus Christ say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Well, you want somebody that is intimately acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word to guide you in that truth. And it's the Spirit of God, albeit He doesn't wear a big sign saying, hey everybody, I want you to know something. I'm God. Worship me. He says, I am God. Worship Him. Follow me. Isn't that remarkable? So He guides you. He guides me. He guides us into all truth. All right, look with me in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And look at verse 26. John chapter 14, look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. You say, why do they call Him the Holy Ghost? Well, you know what a ghost is? A ghost is a person without a body. So when Jesus Christ was manifested as God in the flesh, that was the Holy Ghost incarnate. The Spirit of God had a body. You know what happened when you got saved? The Spirit of God took up residence inside of you. And in you, the ghost has a body. And here the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. First of all, notice in this passage, he shall teach you all things. So the Holy Ghost is the teacher. He is the teacher. You know, I love to preach and I love to teach. And you know what's really fun? It's fun to be able to teach a Sunday school lesson, for instance, when somebody comes to church here who hasn't been in this kind of church before. Or hasn't been in this kind of church. I mean, they may have been in the same type of denomination and so forth. But what I'm saying is they really haven't been exposed a lot to the Word of God. They've been exposed to programs and quarterlies and various things like that. And they come to church here, and after a little while, they may have been here 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, and then they'll say, you know something? I've learned more in this church than I've learned in the last 10 years of being in church. You've heard people say that. That's not because of the man that's standing behind this pulpit, okay? You might be inclined to tell somebody, oh, our pastor's a great teacher. I may be also presupposing something. You may be saying, we're tolerating our pastor until God sends us somebody else. So I'm not going to presuppose that you would say that. But if you're being fed here, you would say something like that. But may I tell you something? It's not the man. That's the Spirit of God. Listen, if the Spirit of God decides that He doesn't want to be here one day to help us through teaching and preaching the Word of God, you're going to find out what this clay is really like. And I've already seen what man can do without God, and it's not pretty. What you want is what God can do through man, not what man can do without God. And that's the Spirit of God that does those things. Now listen, Pastor Ben was up here this morning, and he was teaching in our Sunday school, and started off by, you know, talking about that I'm going to try to teach you something, but I don't teach as well as I preach. And I'm over here going, God, I don't care whether He can teach or preach. I just want to be fed. And I thought he did a really good job. But the neat thing about it is that God gave me things. I've been through that passage that he was in today. I've taught that passage. But he said something today early in his message. I'm not going to tell what it is because I don't want him to get the big head. His wife has to go home with him. And it's a long drive back to Austin. But he said something this morning that I have never heard put just the way he put it. And when he did, it was a scripture that he looked at that magnified through cross-reference the scripture that we were studying. And I thought to myself, I've never seen that before, but that is exactly what this is. And it was a tremendous, it's like a gem. I don't know how you study the Bible. I don't know how you come to the Bible. I don't know how you treat the Bible. It may be that it's all pretty new to you, and so what I'm talking about may seem strange to you, but it won't if you stay in your Bible. After a while, you'll feel the same way that I do right now. I'm not a gem collector, and I wouldn't have gone west for the gold rush. Okay? That's not in my nature. But I understand what those people in the gold rush did. We were in Alaska and we studied on some of that one time. Went to a museum and heard a talk on it and that kind of stuff. Those people literally left their homes, went all the way in these wagon trains and crude modes of transportation west until they got into California and the Yukon and up there in Alaska. And they were looking for gold. And they literally sold everything they had and invested everything they had, including their bodies, to try to find that gold because it was that important to them. They wanted the big gain. That's how I look at that Bible. I'm digging in there looking for a gem. I'm in there looking for silver and gold because to me, this is way more valuable and way more precious than a vein of gold or a strike of diamonds. It really is. And so when somebody stands up here and the Spirit of God is so kind to answer the prayer and say, listen to this, you just go, glory to God! Of course, you didn't hear me shout that. I didn't want to interrupt him or anything. In here, my spirit was rejoicing. Why? Found gold. Found rubies. Found diamonds. Found precious gems. You know who does that? Not him. And not taking anything away from him. I wouldn't have him teach you if I didn't think he was good for the work and also a good friend. But I knew that was the Spirit of God teaching me something he wanted me to see out of that book, and man, was I glad for it. I needed it. And it's wonderful. And I thank God for that. That's the Spirit of God that does that. He shall teach you all things. I am convinced that anything and everything you need to know about life is right there in the pages of that book in your lap. And when the Holy Spirit is ready for you to learn that piece that He wants you to know, He'll teach it to you. Now let me ask you something. When you were in kindergarten, how far along did you get in physics? How about calculus? How about A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P? I always thought that was one strange letter. L, M, N, O, P. You know, and one is two, and two is four. You know, I'm thankful today, even in the age of calculators, that they made us do our math tables and our division tables. Amen. You go to the cash register, and the poor cashier is helpless if that computer shuts down. They didn't teach you physics. So why is it when you come to the Bible as a new Christian, you want to know all end time prophecy by next Sunday? People will read the Bible and they say, but preacher, I can't understand the Bible. You know why you can't understand the Bible? Because the teacher knows that you are a babe in Christ, and the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. When we were raising our children, we would not feed our children ribeye. They picked that up soon enough. They got milk, and then they got that ucky, squish green peas. They seemed to love. You know why? Because we knew that's what they needed, and that's all they could tolerate. Don't you know that the Spirit of God understands the same thing about you? You say, well, I've been saved 20 years. I ought to know more than that. Well, stupid, you didn't drink your milk. I have to be careful. We're getting ready to go to Guatemala. I can't say that. I'll be having a jail ministry in Guatemala. Send me a care package. You didn't drink your milk. So now you have to pick up as a babe in Christ and let the Holy Spirit teach you those basic doctrines and basic words. It's okay. We all have to start there, no matter whether we start at 35 or 65 or 5. You got to learn your ABCs. And you got to understand that LMNOP is not one letter. Okay, you got to know that. When you sort all that out and begin to grow, then the Holy Spirit will teach you a little bit about end time prophecy. But may I tell you something? He's never going to tell you all. You know why? Because God doesn't want you to know all. You read in the book of Daniel, some of that stuff is sealed up till the time of the end. You read in the book of Revelation, some of that stuff is sealed up until the time of the end. May I tell you something? When it happens, you'll know. You'll know. So He's your guide. He's your teacher. And may I tell you something else? It's in John chapter 14, 26. The Comforter also reminds us. He guides us, He teaches us, He reminds us. Look, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Do you find Bible memory hard? Yeah, boy, it's tough, isn't it, Mr. Holder? Get some gray hair up there. All that is, that's just brain matter that's seeping out now. The gray matter, that's what they call that brain, isn't it? Gray matter, it just comes out into your head. That means it's getting hollow. It's hard to remember some of those things, but not for the Spirit of God. He doesn't have trouble remembering anything in the Bible. You know why? Because He wrote it. He knows where all of it is, and He knows what it is, and He knows how to bring it to your remembrance. You say, well, all right then, I'm going to sleep on my Bible, and I'm going to expect Him to... It doesn't work like that. What you need is exposure. That's why we say, read the Bible, read the Bible. Why? Because as you go over that, now the Holy Spirit, you've got ammunition. You've got ordinance. You've got it in you because you've been reading it, and now the Holy Spirit can give it to you and give you recall and use it how He wants to, where He wants to, when He wants to. That's what you want. Now listen, years ago, and I've probably given you this illustration too much, but if you just could have been there, you'd know why I want to keep talking about it. Years ago, we were witnessing to a fella and his wife. He didn't like me, but that's not unusual. There are a lot of people who don't like me. Anyway, so I'm witnessing to this guy, and I'm trying to lead him to the Lord. You know, I can't do that. That's up to the Lord, right? Trying to lead him to the Lord, and so I'm thinking of all these things that he might need. He was raised Lutheran, and he also had a lot of Catholic influence in his family, and so he's looking at the Bible sort of like a missal or a religious book of doctrine and ritual. And he cannot get the concept of trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's just not computing. And so I want to quote John 14:6 and tell him that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am getting ready to quote that verse of Scripture, and when I open my mouth to speak, out comes John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going on like that. And he goes, whoa, stop. And I said, what? He said, go back and say what you just said. You mean John 14:1? He said, well, I don't know what it is, but that thing you said first. I said, okay, well, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He goes, well, that's it right there. I said, what do you mean that's it? He said, I need to get saved. I said, what? You can't get saved on that verse. It's not in the road. I said, how do you figure that? He said, well, I've always believed in God, but that verse says if I believe in God, I'm also supposed to believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm ready to do that. And he and his wife got on their knees, and they prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is in church this morning in Beeville right now, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who knew he needed that? You know who reminded this guy of that verse of Scripture? The Holy Spirit. He's the one that did that. He's the one that did that. He will remind you of all these things. Haven't you read the Bible enough now? I mean, sufficiently up to this point that you've been getting ready to do something or you've been thinking about something and a verse of Scripture comes to your mind. It may not come out quoted word for word the way you read it because you didn't memorize it, but you remember that verse of Scripture and it says something about, you're in high weeds, golf ball, and you are lost. Get back in the fairway. That's a remarkable thing. That's the Spirit of God doing that. That's not your brain. You know, I'm so smart, I figure that out. No, you're not. You and I, we run from that kind of stuff. That's the ooey ooey to us, but not to the Spirit of God. He'll bring that stuff to your remembrance. And I'm going to tell you something. You know that it's God talking to you. I still remember, and it's not the only time it's ever happened. It's happened several times. People have told me, thank you so much for giving me a King James Bible. And I'd say, you're welcome. They say, you know what? God talks to me in that book. And the nice thing about it is he doesn't just talk to you in your morning devotions or your evening devotions. He talks to you throughout the day. Those verses of Scripture come back to your memory. And they apply to the very thing you're involved in right there at that moment. Thank God for His Holy Spirit. Let me show you something else. John chapter... Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you a couple of more things. I'm loving telling you about the Spirit of God, but I'm also aware that there can be a limit to this fun. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 10. But God, verse 9, and but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. You keep seeing that combination of words, all things? All things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So your body, your mind, that physical capacity does not have capacity for the Word of God. It's a spiritual matter and the Spirit of God has to give it to you. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, but that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Now notice, the Spirit of God is the one that reveals these things to us. He says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. It's revelation. Revelation. When Jesus Christ was on the road to Emmaus, He had already risen from the dead. He was walking with a couple of His disciples. Don't you think some guys that had hung around Jesus Christ for about 3.5 years would have a pretty good idea they're talking to the Lord? I mean, Jesus said one word to Mary. She got it. She knew that was the risen Lord. She mistook Him for the gardener at first, but that all got straightened out in a hurry. John is out there fishing, and they're far enough away that it'd be indiscernible who it is on the shore, that it gives them instruction about how to catch some fish out there, and John turns to the other disciples and said, "It's the Lord." Peter is making a confession about the Lord Jesus Christ. The question comes up, "Who do men say that I am?" And they say, "Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but that my Father which is in heaven." And these things were given to them by God. Now he's walking on the road to Emmaus with these disciples who are clueless, and they're saying, "Why don't you just quit walking on your journey, even though you have further to go. Come eat with us." And so he pretended like he was going to turn in. They broke some bread. He blessed the bread. Their eyes were open. But you know how he revealed himself to them? Out of the Scripture. He said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all..." This, what is that? Recorded in the Scripture. And then he takes them from Moses and the prophets and expounds to them all the things concerning himself. And they said, "Did not our heart burn within us when he opened to us the Scriptures?" You know how he revealed... He's right there. "Thomas, see the holes in my hands?" He could have done that, but he didn't. He said, "It's in there." And the Holy Spirit revealed to them that they were talking to the risen Savior. I don't have to be on the road to Emmaus, and I don't have to see any prints. I know He's up, and I know He's risen. You say, "How do you know that?" Because the Spirit of God has revealed the truth of that in the Scripture. Right now, some of us have children that were raised in church that don't believe that book anymore. And they're not living according to that book anymore. And you know why that is? Because they've cut off that revelation from the Spirit of God because of unbelief. Let me tell you something. There's more to say about this, but I'm going to just turn it right here. I don't know the condition of your soul. I mean, some of you I do because I know your testimony. Some of you I was with you when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But there are some here today, I don't know the condition of your soul, but the Spirit of God does. He understands all things. And He knows whether you're saved, and He knows whether you're lost. He's better than Santa Claus. Santa Claus only knows whether you're naughty or nice. He knows whether you're saved or lost. You understand? And I'm going to tell you something today. If you're here without Christ and you wanted to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you know who's going to reveal that Jesus Christ is the Savior? The Spirit of God. He's going to do two things right now. First of all, what He's going to do is He's going to reprove you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's a whole explanation in itself. But basically what that means is you are not righteous enough on your own to pass the judgment of God because of your sin. Now, you say, "Well, yeah, but you're a sinner just like me." I am a sinner, and I've sinned just like you, but I'm not a sinner just like you. You know why? Because when the Spirit of God revealed to me that my righteousness was insufficient to pass a judgment of God because of my sin, I went to Jesus Christ, and the Bible says He shall save His people from their sins, and He saved me from my sins. And He saved many of you from your sins. And so now what He did when He saved you from your sins, He basically took the sins of your life away from you. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And gave you His righteousness. So you could stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not in your own. You know who does that, who revealed that need to me? Spirit of God. And you know who's trying to reveal that need to you right now? Spirit of God. He wants you to know that you're in a good place right now hearing about the work God does with this Scripture, because in response to the work of this Scripture, the Holy Spirit of God can bring the new birth of Christ to you and you can be saved. The Bible says it this way, whatsoever is born of the flesh is flesh. That's this thing here. I have so many characteristics like my ancestors, like my mother and father, like my grandfather, particularly on my mother's side, that you know, kind of like matching up cows and calves. I'm marked. That's my flesh. Whatsoever is born of the flesh is flesh. But the Bible says, whatsoever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And the Spirit of God will bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll have the new birth. And then what will you be? You'll be a sinner saved by the grace of God. And it's the Spirit of God that reveals not only your need of salvation, but also reveals to you that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me, and that's you. You say, well, I'm a woman. That's you. It's not gender specific. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I don't know how you're trying to get to heaven. You wouldn't be in church, not in a church like this morning, if you didn't have some intention of making it to heaven when you die. But I'm telling you, if you have veered off by experience or veered off by false teaching on some other path to try to get to heaven than that, may I tell you, all roads do not lead to heaven and not all religions are the same and they don't all worship the same God. You need Jesus Christ and Him alone. You say, what do you think? You're some kind of exclusive? No, He's exclusive. He's the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You want to be saved? He'll save you. You want to be off track? Go out the way you came in. It's that simple. And I can't reveal that to you, but the Spirit of God can. If you would stop long enough to allow Him to express the truth of what you've just heard to your heart when it came to the invitation that we're going to give in just a moment, you'd say, you know what? That's the truth and I'm following it. Just like I heard the truth this morning and said, that's it right there. I even wrote it in indelible ink in my Bible, said, that's exactly what that means right there. You want to be saved? All you got to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can do that today. And you want to walk in truth? Then all you need to do is follow the Spirit of God and quit following all the other voices of the world that will lead you astray. And that's how He'll do it. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to open this great Scripture and see these things. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do something very important here. First of all, I pray you will affirm the truth of all these things that have been spoken this morning so that these that are here that have just really didn't appreciate the great work Your Spirit is doing in our lives when it concerns this Bible, that they'll have a much greater appreciation now and really trust You to teach them and be patient with You as You teach them according to how much You know they can handle and tolerate at this point. And Father, if we have anybody here today that is without Christ, I'm asking You, please, boy, what a great thing if they would just trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, they may not have heard enough in this preaching today to know how to receive Christ. They may have heard their need. Well, we wouldn't want them to try to pray some prayer to think that they've gotten saved without at least seeing the gospel for themselves in the Scripture. We'd love to have the opportunity to show them. May Your Holy Spirit work with great liberty amongst us now, Father, to speak to the heart and soul of any person here without Christ. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to simply ask you one question. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, there's not a happier day in your life, as happy as we were yesterday to see the beautiful wedding with Lizzie and Ori. That's not the happiest day of my life. As beautiful it was 34 years ago for Ann and I to be married, that's not the happiest day of our lives. Happiest day of our lives is the day we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's the best decision we ever made. And I promise you, as God is my witness, it'll be the happiest day of your life as well. So let me ask you just very basic, very simply, very honestly, just be honest with me if you will. Courageous but honest. If you're here today without Christ, you know it. The Spirit of God's already made it plain to you. You know what I want to do? I just want to pray for you. I do not want to force your hand at all. But I am going to give you an opportunity to receive Him. I just want to know to pray for you now. Is there anybody here that would simply slip your hand up and slip it right back down and say, preacher, pray for me. I am not saved. You know it. Anybody? Preacher, preacher, I'm not saved, and I need you to pray for me. Father, I pray today that everybody here is saved. But I also know how many times people have been embarrassed to admit they're lost. But they don't have to be embarrassed to admit that to you. May this message today be the cause of the work your Holy Spirit needs to do to bring them further along that way to come into Jesus Christ. And I ask you to do these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.